got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, D-Lo. We your number one spot. We your number one spot for some sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two. We in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We your number one spy.
Mics on to start the show. That'd be a good winner. What's good, baby?
What up? What up? What up?
What's
what
good,
up?
What's good? Welcome into the Tuesday, October 1st edition, first day of October. A nice, cool 101 out in Sacramento. Jesus Christ. Sometimes I hate this place.
That's crazy. And it ain't, well, it's not cooling off anytime soon.
It's really not.
According to the app.
So we were talking about, like, oh, It's 70 outside. Fall is here. Fall doesn't exist here. It's going to be 100 degrees on Halloween, and then it's going to be freezing at some point. Probably not till the new year.
And when you go to take the morning walk, it's going to be 40 degrees out of nowhere.
It was like 100 yesterday. Why is it so damn cold this morning? I'm Damian Barling.
The ultimate needle mover in God Bone himself.
He's Kenny Caraway.
Yes, sir.
Acknowledge me.
And we are live.
From the worst slums of Sacramento.
Yes, I'm indeed.
Kenny Caraway, a.k.a. Big Dom.
Big Dom. Big Dom was just lurking in videos yesterday. KC was all over media day yesterday.
The crazy thing is like, it was like deep conversation. We laugh, and some one of the other homies comes up. Hey, what up, Big Dom?
You can see this conversation if you scour the internet hard enough.
That was crazy. That was
crazy is not the word. That was comedy. That was absolutely hilarious. Big Dom, man. Just in the video for no reason.
Big Dom's video was crazy, bro. That Big Dom.
Big Dom. The fact, but see, your video, see, the difference is you just having a conversation, maybe a little bit unaware of your surroundings, yeah. While Dom moved.
Big Dom was he on the sideline and moved into the end zone.
To get into the conversation. So he could be in the video, excuse me.
Oh,
actually move.
And another thing that I was alerted to yesterday, 1320 related, was I didn't even realize this happened because I was trying to get information out so fast.
Oh, well.
I didn't realize that on the Monty McNair joint, I went the still photo instead of the video.
Yeah. We had a good laugh on that. We had a good laugh on that. Like, shout out to KC.
Oh, man.
The one guy who's posting content we can't use other than to share his still shot. Oh, look. Monty's talking. I wonder what he's saying.
My bad.
Wait for Sean Cunningham to post it. James was still dealing with Verizon issues, so he couldn't post anything.
Oh, James was Verizon too?
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah, and you know, ooh, how you know how well James handles stuff like that.
Oof.
My man was not pleased. Mm-hmm. He was still upset about it this morning.
They give you all your money back yet? They said they're gonna give you your money back.
I don't know what Verizon's gonna do, but I want my bill prorated for a day. That's for damn sure.
Give your money back. That's what I'm saying.
That's for damn sure. Man, we are thrilled that you are here with us. First day of training camp. James is there right now. I believe media availability is happening as we speak. So here as the day progresses, likely here as the first hour progresses, we'll be able to bring you sound from the very first Sacramento Kings practice. Again, that took place this morning. And we'll pass it along to you as soon as we can, or any sound we'll pass along to you as soon as we can. I did spend some time this morning getting caught up on some of the media day sound that we missed. Like, we didn't play Keegan Murray on the air yesterday. Mm-hmm. Didn't play Keon Ellis. Went back and listened to some of that stuff this morning. A lot of reasons to be excited about this team, man. A lot of reasons to be really, yes, really excited about this team. It feels like some conversations might have been had, particularly about that starting two spot, particularly about maybe guys adjusting roles, maybe finding a different place this upcoming season. Mm-hmm. But we'll find out, man. We'll all find out together. First game 1 week from tomorrow at the Golden One Center when the Sacramento Kings take on the Golden State Warriors, and first practice is today. Now, it's not a it's probably not the most ideal practice for Mike Brown and that coaching staff is Kevin Huerter in terms of the 5-on-5. Kevin Huerter is not going to be a part of it. Trey Lyles, Jordan McLaughlin, they're not going to be a part of it as well. So some things that Mike might have wanted to try about a month or two ago won't necessarily be likely here, at least for a couple of more weeks. We expect Kevin Love to be able to go 5-on-5 while the preseason is happening, while the preseason games are happening. Not as much sure about Jordan and Trey. Jordan seemed to indicate he was pretty close. Trey, if I remember correctly, the barometer for him, I think, was 3 weeks, which gets us right to the end of training camp and preparing for the first game of the season. So we'll kind of see how that stuff plays out. But it's an exciting time to be a Kings fan for sure.
Yeah, it is, man. It is a lot of excitement around the Kings community yesterday when the with all the interviews and the pictures and stuff like that, seeing everybody in the uniforms. It's exciting to see these guys out here, and it's difficult to not imagine, you know, what this team is going to look like all together. You know, we got the picture, like I said, that I had of Fox, Monk.
Now that was Murray. A still shot that was worth it. That was you nailed it with that still shot. Yeah. And Monty McNair, not so much.
Well,
but the other one, you killed it.
You know, I'm like Mustafa, the safety for the 49ers, who on the first opportunity he had to make a tackle, Patriots guy just ran by him on third down. Mm-hmm. But Kyle said that was the only one he'd like to have back. He played a good game. You mm-hmm. know, he got a pancake block on Fred Warner's interception return. That was me. I missed the tackle on third down.
It's okay.
On the first play, but then, you know, I
you was cooking the rest of the way. Yeah, some Keegan sound up. Yeah, some Mike Brown sound.
I wasn't a rookie. That wasn't my first.
No, I wasn't going to point that out, but it's okay. It's all right. It was your first one with the ESPN 1320.
Oh, that's what that was.
Yeah. But new system here. New scheme.
That's all
new scheme. That's it is. New scheme. You gotta learn the Kyle Shanahan offense out here. ESPN 1320 offense.
But I was excited seeing those guys in uniform, man. Just seeing them out there and be like, man, this is the squad. This is the Kings really have a group of guys that are official. You know, I think at least they're official. This is a legit playoff team in the Western Conference. This is a legit formidable opponent in a postseason series. And man, we're here. They finally got it done. Monty McNair. Now, while I was listening to him talk, I'm like, damn, Monty been here 4 years? That's crazy. Like, this is his fourth media day or something like that. Man, time flies, man.
A couple of them were through Zoom.
Yeah. And, you know, he's had to make some moves and make some decisions while he's been here. And at least right now, he's done it. He has built a team. He has built a roster that's capable of being looked at as a playoff team and has expectations to compete. Salute to Monty McNair.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So as soon as some sound post from James, from Sean, from Matt, from any of our people out there at the Golden One Center, we will definitely bring it to you. A couple of Monday night football games last night. There were two for anyone who might have.
No, there was only one.
Yeah.
There was only one.
Damn, bro.
I understand. And it's okay. That's fine. That's a perfectly fair reaction.
That's tough.
Most people went away from that. Jared Goff put up a pretty ridiculous stat line.
That was a trip.
Jared Goff was 18 of 18 for 292 last night. That is really impressive.
So let me ask you a question, because it's going to sound like I'm crapping all over it. What's more impressive, the 18 for 18 or the 292? If you don't miss a pass, I'm looking like, man, 350, 400. 282 is... I'm not even saying it's bad. I'm just saying, like, that stuck out to me. Like, that's all we got out of that? Out of completing every pass?
I don't think quarterbacks throw like that anymore, though.
You don't think 292 is a good number?
Or 18, for you not missing a pass at all? Like, I think, what was Brock the other day? Brock was 2-something, and he had 11 incompletions.
Yeah, but I think he had, like, 19 completions, no? Is that wrong?
He might have. He might have.
I might have just made that up.
I'm not even saying it's bad. I'm just, yeah, 15. 15 of 27, he had 288.
Okay.
And I'm like, and that's only three more completions than golf. But I'm like, man, you didn't miss a pass. I'm expecting everything to hit, get some yak, all this other stuff. Once again, wasn't bad. It was,
nah,
to me.
It feels like you're crapping on him.
No, to me, it was just, it was.
Why you hate Jared Goff?
No, man. They're, go Bears. You know what I mean? College game day in the building this weekend. You know? But, it's like, oh man, I expected more, but it was still impressive that you were able to go 18 of 18 in that situation.
I think this is what the league is at this point. There's only one guy above 300 yards this season per game.
Who is
Jordan Love? He's only played like a couple, right? Because he's had his injury. He's at 324, and then it's Geno Smith is second at 295.
That's the average per?
Yeah, average per.
Geno's having a nice little. He actually played. Geno played really well yesterday.
He did. Now, see, here's the thing about this game, though. Now, before you guys sound crazy, remember, I think this was our second opening day football, or whatever the case may be, and because I remember it specifically, and it was the Cowboys and a bunch of offense, Cowboys Bucks, and Dak Prescott was cooking, and Tom Brady was cooking, it was a great game. Everybody, we just saw two of the best teams in the league. I said, I didn't see championship football out there. Oh, what are you talking about, KC? What are you talking about? I said, I didn't see championship football.
No, hold on. No one said that.
That's absolute.
No.
Jesse, you were there.
That's not.
Jesse, you know that's how that went down.
That's not what happened.
Because what I said was they couldn't run the ball. I just saw a bunch of passing.
That's not what happened. Everyone said, you're looking for championship football on the first day.
That is not how. It happened to me, so I know how it went down.
Okay, I guess I
no. It happened.
It was the debut episode of the Kenny Caraway show, and I
no.
I
it, it. It. I know exactly. What I said I ain't seen no championship football out there, and everybody, you tripping, KC? You hating? Dak Prescott was doing it. Tom Brady. I said, bro, they can't run the ball.
You're telling a story right now. That's not what happened. Everyone called you out for calling for championship football in the first game.
The moral of the story is I ain't see championship football last night. Them teams can't play no defense.
This is one of those.
Oh, were you looking for one of them teams to be a championship team?
I thought the Lions had capabilities.
Okay.
And I did want to see Seattle. They're 3-0. They're not a bad team.
But
I was like, maybe I sold them short a little bit. And they're good on the offensive end. Kenneth Walker, Geno, like you talked about, DK. They've got weapons, but they haven't changed it a little bit enough.
But that performance didn't make me feel bad about them. Like, I didn't know what the 3-0 was. Like, I didn't know how long that was going to stay. But watching that last night, I don't feel bad. Like, I don't look at them and go, "Oh, that 3-0, that ain't real." I look like, "Oh, that's probably a good football team."
I looked at this maybe from a 49ers perspective, like, "Oh, we can get that. Yeah, we can get that."
Is there a team where you go, "We can't"? When it comes to the 49ers,
I'll tell you the team when we get back.
Look at that! What a tease! He'll probably make something up when we return, like he just did, Steelo and KC. Here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. See, I waited.
They literally effortlessly just jumped to that.
So I waited because I remember Warren said they skip WrestleMania 4 and 5 in the McMahon documentary and go straight to the Ultimate Warrior. They completely skip Donald Trump. And you recognize, okay, there's the Battle of the Billionaires thing later. You probably build a big 5 minutes, maybe 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. Like, they didn't tell the story of how, like, there's so much that would have made this whole, there's so many interesting things that they could have told a story about that they didn't. McMahon once announced that Donald Trump bought Monday Night Raw. That's how the whole guest host thing started. That's how the whole Battle of the Billionaires thing started. Mm-hmm. Vince McMahon said, I'm going to sell Monday Night Raw. That's not a thing. Everybody is very, very aware. That's not a thing. Donald Trump on television, storyline-wise, says he bought it. Do you know what happened the next day at 8 a.m. New York time? The stock tanked. Mm. The WWE stock went in the gutter because people thought Donald Trump had just bought World Wrestling Entertainment.
That's crazy.
Let that sink in for a second.
It's crazy.
And Vince McMahon had to go on television shows and say, guys, it's a storyline. This is professional wrestling. You can't buy Monday Night Raw. That is a part of the WWE, which I own and my stockholders own, to which Donald Trump has not won. He had to do that on Fox, on CNN, on NBC. They had to put out press releases. They had to do all of this stuff to undo the damage that that television show did on Monday night. They didn't even tell the story of how they got together at WrestleMania 3 and 4. They glossed over the mention that his wife went to work in his cabinet. Bro, what?
That's a trip.
Absolute. Your boys. Your boys.
No, ain't my boys.
Your boys at the Ringer.
No, they ain't your boys.
They failed miserably with this project.
And Linda looks different. That did not look like Linda McMahon.
Well,
that was, and I'm not even here to like, I'm not saying she looked bad.
Look, man,
that did not look like Linda McMahon.
We all get old. You don't have to pretend like you're not getting old. Vince actually looks like the Firefly Funhouse puppet.
No, he really does.
He looks like a supervillain.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
And whoever dyed his eyebrows, like, it was just a tough. I'm just thankful the interviews weren't done with the mustache.
He's like a 1940s like, YI auto supervillain, bro.
That's exactly.
He's tied to the train tracks, all that stuff.
He looks crazy. The other thing about it, I do not believe the WrestleMania attendance. What they say, 93 what?
1,173.
Yeah, I don't believe that. But, and I don't know why they would lie about that, because
they've lied about attendance virtually every year, I think. So there's someone, I don't remember who picked up on it. They make it a part of the story. Someone, and I can't remember what year it was, found, they say that on television, but they don't say it in stock documents because they can't. It's misleading. It's WrestleMania 3 doesn't matter, right? But like WrestleMania, you know, 25, the whichever the one was with Trump is, they'll you know, there were 80,000 in Ford Field, and then in like the documents they'll say, yeah, 62,428 paid to see WrestleMania 25, and it's like, oh, it's a
which
work.
Is also
it's a work.
Well, which is also which is you're messing with words there. If you say 65,000 paid to get in, they might have 20,000 comps.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And 80,000 people might have been there, but 63 paid. Only reason I bring that up is because I don't believe the 93,000 number, but there's a lot of people. I think there's more than 75,000. That was a lot of people there. And the way I look at it is those stadiums hold, I think, like in the stands, close to 65,000 to 70,000 people.
Yeah, but that was the first stadium configured.
Was that one more 50,000 or something like that? In the
WrestleMania 3?
I'm just thinking of the Silverdome in the stands. What does anybody know what that is?
Oh,
for
don't
a football game,
know.
That's like 50
I'm
to
sure
60,
it's 50,000 to 60,000. Yeah,
and
I'm
they
sure.
probably got another 15,000 to 20,000 on the floor. There was a lot of people.
I mean,
the
idea of it being around 80,000, I think, is
which is like
100%.
I don't know why they just wouldn't say.
I don't know why they wouldn't either. Like it's still one of the biggest houses ever. Like there's that. I think Wembley Stadium had a legit 82,000 when they did SummerSlam 92, and then that Dallas WrestleMania. Like I think they fudged that number, but I think there were actually 100,000 people there.
They had, because I looked up the one in the Superdome, WrestleMania 30, they said at 75,167. And I think that's a real number. And but you consider also the way wrestling is set up now, they cut off a piece because of the stage
setup
and all
this
other stuff. So they didn't have that at WrestleMania 3.
Right.
So they possibly got another 5,000 in there to make it 80,000.
They just had a wrestling cart on a forklift to take you up and down the aisle.
Did they do that just for Andre? Like
no, they
everybody,
did it for everybody
used it, but did they
everybody
do that just for Andre?
No, they had Andre in mind because they didn't want him to walk that far, but they thought the walk was too far for people in general, and they didn't want. They wanted something else.
Gotcha.
So Hogan wasn't going to write it down because of the way he does his thing with the crowd. And they knew that match wasn't going to be very long. But I'm sure no one thought, hey, let's have Andre walk 100 yards.
Match would have never started.
Match would still be happening right now. Still waiting for Hogan. Slam! Okay, Hogan. Whatever you say, pal.
But before the break, I said I didn't see championship football last night between the Lions and the Seahawks. Very entertaining game. Mm-hmm. Good offenses, for sure. Mm-hmm. But when I looked at it, and I looked at it from a perspective of, all right, the Niners need to contend with these teams. Am I going to see something that worries me or anything? And I didn't see a lot. The offenses, both of them, yeah, that worries me because they're explosive. They got explosive players. But one of the things that I feel is the Achilles heel of the 49ers and how you beat them is you got to be able to defend. And you said, what teams are out there that like that, that you worry about that? Mm-hmm. So far, it's just KC and Baltimore. Mm-hmm. So far. Because KC, I talked about it in their opening game, how impressed I was with how they play defense. And if you can stop the 49ers from we literally saw it in the Super Bowl. If you could stop them from going up and down the field, mm-hmm. that's the best chance to beat them. Mm-hmm. And the Lions and, you know, even the Packers to a certain degree, when it came time to stop them or it came time in the 49ers sense to be able to move the ball, like, we got to move the ball. We need to get the offense. They're able to do it because those teams' defense wasn't strong enough. Mm-hmm. KC couldn't really do that like that. Mm-hmm. Or KC would get they let them, you know, get to the 30 or whatever, and then they'd stall out. So the same thing with the Ravens on Monday Night Football. So Chef Monty, the Vikings defense. Yeah, I think the Vikings defense is the type that's what impresses me mm-hmm. when I see these games and I think about from a 49er sense, how can this team knock off the Niners? A Vikings defense is absolutely one of those things. You got to be able to defend. And last night I saw two fun teams, two very skilled teams offensively, but the fact that they were able to go up and down the field on each other, I was like, they're going to have to change that throughout the course of the season.
So
to be a true Super Bowl contender.
Okay. I think the number one thing that stands out in the conversation is you're judging them on that game yesterday. But, like, I feel like you're judging the 49ers at what they'll be at their peak. Mm-hmm. Like, if the 49ers are going to stop that Detroit team we saw yesterday, and that's all I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about in the long run because I don't like Detroit as much as you guys do. But if you're going to stop that Detroit team from last night or maybe even the Seattle team from last night, they can't play defense the way they have been.
No, they can't. But I've seen, I don't want to say lesser defense, but about the same defense give the Lions problems. The Bucs gave them problems.
Like lesser than a bad 49er.
Yeah. Just an average defensive team.
Yeah, okay, I got you.
The Bucs gave them problems. Jared Goff didn't have a good game against him. The Rams in that game kind of had them flummoxed a little bit. Now, the Lions were able to, in overtime, enforce their will and run the ball. And that's one of the things that's very impressive mm-hmm. about the Lions, that offensive line. I think that's one of the best groups in football mm-hmm. is their offensive line. But I've seen not bad defense. I don't think the Bucs have a bad defense. The Rams defense is spotty and they kind of gave them trouble. I've seen that happen. You know what I mean? I've seen the Broncos kind of give the Seahawks trouble in game one of the season. They just weren't capable to do anything offensively with Bo Nix, mm-hmm. but an average defense. I've seen these two teams kind of struggle with that, and yeah, we'll see what happens in the future. But so far, I wanted to look at one of those teams last night, and say, oh no, they're legit. Like that's something you got to be worried about. And while I think they're both pretty good, I came away from it as a 49er fan, like, oh, you can get that. You take care of the football, you play a clean game, you can overpower those two teams.
I still think I think you sound ridiculous when you say this stuff sometimes. But me, I'm a broadcast journalist speaking from a neutral perspective. And I'm anxious to watch this Minnesota story develop. I'm trying to convince myself, especially after a rocky start, that the 49ers still aren't the best team in the NFC. I just can't get behind Detroit, man. I don't know why. I love Dan Campbell. I like his. I love the vibe. As a football team, I just don't know. This is tough. They got a bye week. They got a week five bye week right now, which means, I mean, it don't mean nothing for them now. It just, they're entering a run at the end of the season where they've got Green Bay, Buffalo, Chicago, San Francisco, and Minnesota.
Well, the killer, it's not.
That stretch could keep them out of the playoffs. As a shoot could keep them out of the playoffs.
It's the interesting thing, the thing to keep an eye on for me with them is they've already played three home games. You know, and that home field is crazy. Four field be going up. And they were able to get two wins out of those three games. But, man, three of your – is it still eight home games? Eight? Well, I guess there's that one game that fluctuates now. So you may have nine home games sometimes. But,
one in parts unknown, I think.
You look at that stretch that you just talked about, four of their next five are on the road.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to show – If you're a top flight team, which I still think they are, you can win home in a row. It's not a scary proposition.
You say top flight, you think they're a one or two?
I think so. Okay. I still think they're a top team. You know, another team that I left out of there that the jury's still out when I talk about the NFC or, you know, a team that, you know, I want to see what this team is about, man. They may be able to give the Niners some trouble, is the Bucs. I was watching their game last night against the Eagles, and they had that one slip up against Denver, which is inexplicable.
Weird.
Yeah, but, I mean, they dominated that Eagles game. They played well against a Washington team that we think is pretty good. They handled the Lions. I want to see more from Tampa Bay because they may be a lot better than I gave them credit for at the beginning of the season, and that's a team that – you know, I think plays well on both sides of the ball. So
it's about damn time, like Lizzo said.
I think the Bucs and the Lions are in that category of top teams in NFC.
I love the Bucs and I love my boy. I watch that develop too because I don't know, one or two. I don't know that I even. I don't even know that even I put the Bucs up there.
They got
I wasn't even confident the Bucs could win this division again.
I buy the
Bucs though. I'll say this: I'll buy the Bucs more than the Saints.
Yeah, I'm kind of out on the Saints.
Atlanta, I don't know.
Yeah, I thought. Oh no, they play. Yeah, I thought so. They play on Thursday Night Football tonight. That's going to be a good game. Falcons Bucs.
Okay.
In Atlanta. And we'll learn about Tampa Bay a little bit too because
it's a hell of a win for Atlanta this past weekend, by the way.
That was a big impressive time win. Their stretch is about to get crazy. Tampa Bay's they're at Atlanta on Thursday night, at New Orleans, at home against the Ravens, Falcons again, at Chiefs, 49ers. So we'll find out who the Bucs are coming up. We'll definitely find out. Yeah, I think they're a good team.
Top top of the conference right now. We go Lions, 49ers, Bucks.
I want to say a football team. No, once again, we're not calling them
no respect for Minnesota, huh?
Oh, I forgot about Minnesota. No, Minnesota's up there. Okay, I that's my bad. Minnesota's definitely up there.
Okay,
definitely up there. They're ahead of Tampa Bay and Detroit in my opinion, and they're legit. I'm a believer in Minnesota.
Okay. I love the Sam Darnold story. I think there's probably a discussion to be had about what Sam Darnold is doing and what Geno Smith has been doing for the Seattle Seahawks, and we can get to that in time. There's plenty of football to talk about today. There's some rumblings that perhaps the Las Vegas Raiders might be open to moving Antonio Pierce. Antonio Pierce. Well, Davante Adams. So, I'm looking at a picture of Antonio Pierce. My apologies.
So I'm sorry. I was. I think I was listening to Las Vegas radio or something. What happened with Antonio Pierce and Davante Adams? Did Antonio Pierce hit something?
Davante Adams on Kay Adams' show. Davante Adams and Antonio Pierce aren't talking right now. I guess Antonio Pierce hasn't been talking to him. He said. Adams at the end was like, oh, like I hope you talk to your coach or whatever. Devonta's like, yeah, I hope he talks to me too.
That's kind of crazy by Antonio, man.
There was a post, like Sports Illustrated, maybe, on IG that said, "Don't be surprised if Devontae." It was like a "Don't be surprised if Devontae Adams has played his last snap with the Raiders."
That's what. That's what, yeah.
And he liked it.
Yeah, bro. Come on. Yo,
AP, you got one more year, honestly, bro, and then we'll get you out of here.
No, AP, wow.
Yeah, we'll get you out of here after next season. Call it what it is, bro.
What?
I think that post came to his attention, and he unliked the post. But it was already out there, like it had already hit the internet. Yeah. Like it doesn't work like that, Devontae. You know, salute, brother, but.
That's exactly what I couldn't remember, and I wasn't sure. I didn't want to put it out there if I wasn't sure about it, but yeah, that's. Come on, man.
This didn't work.
And there's a report out there that says a league source with knowledge of the situation confirmed that the Raiders are growing open to the idea of trading Devontae Adams. The source said the club has begun reaching out to teams to gauge interest in the veteran wide receiver. I'll just say that's from Vinny. I don't want to butcher his last name, but
This is a visual situation, but you know what time it is. Yeah, you know what I mean? I got to do my John Lynch. That's the gift.
Okay. Yeah, I got bad news.
I got to do the John Lynch. It's time.
Is that John Lynch?
That wasn't even a good visual bit. Like,
the camera's supposed to move, not me, but I can't. There's somebody moving the camera, so I got to move in the chair. But yeah, you know, arms folded.
Okay. Okay.
I'm getting nose.
Take a lap, bro. Go take a lap. Go take a lap. Fence and back. Just run the rest of people, to be honest.
Now look, on Twitter, go look at, I retweeted because Monte put the GIF up. You know the GIF I'm talking about?
No.
Jesse, you know the GIF I'm talking about? Look on the
No one knows
look
what
on,
you're talking
look on the,
about.
Look on the Twitter. You know, unblock me real quick, both of you guys, because Jesse blocks me now, too, after what I said about the
Jacob
Celtics
says,
and the Knicks.
Great radio bit. Colin says, go home. David says, okay, Kenny.
It's time,
I'm
man.
Out.
No, it's time, man. John Lynch, man. Do what you do, baby.
Drew
Get
down.
On the phones.
Drew down like a 95.7 live chat says, stick to doing the voice impressions.
You gotta move the camera or something.
Right? That's what I'm saying.
No, it doesn't work though. It doesn't work though. You gotta move the camera or something.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah,
that's terrible. That is awful. You gotta be.
How are we supposed to know that's John Lynch? Like, what?
Everybody knows.
That was Nobody knows.
He said, "I know KC. You good? Everybody knows."
Thomas is a Niners fan. Everybody trying to have your back.
That's an awful bit. That is just awful. What has this show become?
Kyle knew.
Don't bring Kyle into this.
Tyler coming here saying he knew 3 minutes after you did it. He didn't know.
What has this show become?
Look, the other Kyle said it too.
Huh? Say that again.
I thought he was being Kawhi at Clippers Media Day.
Oh no, that was funny. They said that was the microwave. Somebody was in the microwave. No, that was some good stuff. But yeah, man, come on. Everybody knows when it's time for John Lynch to go to work. That's the gift they put up. Come on, they know. They know what time it is.
You already got one $30 million receiver. You're not really getting the ball to.
Maybe you won't have another. Maybe you'll still have one.
Oh.
Wow.
I'm just asking.
I'm not going to lie. I don't hate that. Say it out loud, but I don't hate
it. Look, I'm asking a question because I understand if the Raiders are going to make that deal, they have to ask.
I just read Tony Edwards' comment, and it's funny. I'm not going to read it on the air. We'll just keep that amongst us, but it's pretty funny.
Hold on, man. Now I've got – stop it.
Perfectly fine to read on the air. Just not going to.
But – if the Raiders are going to entertain any kind of conversation, probably with the 49ers, it would start with, all right, well, what's Brandon Ayuk? What you guys doing with that?
Mm-hmm.
And I ain't going to lie to you, man. It's something you got to think about. Something you got to think about. If you could get – I'm going to ask you. I'm going to ask Jesse. The Raiders are like, we got a deal. Devontae Adams for Brandon Ayuk.
Oh, poor Jeff Passan's up there in a sling.
Oh, no.
I forgot my man got hurt in the fantasy football thing that they did.
Oh no.
You didn't see that?
No.
Yeah, my man it was like a race for draft picks or he had to hit like a tackling dummy or something and destroyed his whole.
Are you thinking of Field Yates or Jeff Passan?
No, oh, Field Yates.
So he,
that's who's on the TV in front of us.
He out here looking like Devin Carter.
Yeah, he's looking rough.
Well, Devin Carter ain't got that no more, but when he was hurt.
That's the one interview I didn't get to. I didn't hear Devin Carter. I didn't hear him talk yesterday.
Yeah, I heard him. He didn't say much. It was good to see him, though.
Not that I'd expect him to. So, you're out on Brandon Ayuk is what it feels like.
No, because I haven't made my decision. I'm just saying that's okay. That's the conversation that will come up.
I think Bonte and Butcher Boy were talking on their show the other day. Is it worth, knowing how the 49ers offense runs, is it worth to have a guy like Brandon Ayuk getting paid $30 million a year, like he's a top guy or whatever, knowing like sometimes he's just not going to get the ball, I guess, if that's a better way to put it?
It depends on.
Well, it worked last year, didn't it? All we're talking about is the contract. We're not talking about the player.
No, and I don't think you can. We're having a conversation. The conversation would be, can you find that production cheaper in that system? And this is four games in, but they didn't turn and said, all right, Juwan Jennings, you be the guy. Like they've literally just found somebody else to be.
They're going to make another wide receiver one and have to figure out how to pay him when his contract's up,
but then
or just let them all go.
That's find another one. We always find one.
But how good is that for Brock Purdy?
It's not a problem so far.
Well, it's not like Juwan wasn't there last year.
True, but you say Jacob Cowing or Ricky Pearsall is that guy. Ricky Pearsall is Juwan Jennings last year, right? Like where he's just all kind of gets in where he fits in or whatever. And then
get this stupid GIF off of my screen. God damn it.
You get Adams for a couple more years too, right? Well, this season and next, I believe.
Yeah, I think he's got 2 years left.
Oh,
he's
does he? Years. Oh, I thought it was this one.
And I think he's got 2 years left, and it's one of those things where you can get out.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. If you want to. But 49ers wouldn't.
Right. Okay.
Or maybe probably wouldn't. Yeah.
I got to be honest. I don't know, man. I don't know if that's. I think it's worth a conversation internally about what you would do. Does anybody, regardless? I think Brandon Ayuk is better than what he's shown so far this year. Like I believe in the Brandon Ayuk we just saw this past season. I think that's who he is. Does anybody think he's better than Devontae Adams right now?
No.
I don't think so.
I don't think he's better right now. I think he's a top 10 receiver, but I don't think he's better than Devontae Adams.
I think he is.
Devontae might be a top 3.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what we're talking about.
I mean, Jamar, Justin Jefferson,
CD and Devontae, but he's in that conversation.
Yeah.
He's in that conversation, Brandon Ayuk, because we've all talked about it ad nauseum over the summer. He's a little lower on the tier. Mm-hmm. But so that there's that aspect of it. And then. You look at the 49ers, and we kind of talked about this a little bit, and the NFC, man, it seems like right now is the time to go all in the NFC. Because if you got a guy like Devontae Adams, you might be the favorite right now, but you feel like you'd be unequivocally the favorite. Like it's one of those things where the NFC is so wide open, it's a little weaker than the AFC. If you can, pad that roster in any way to place yourself as the prohibitive favorite, the time to do it is right now.
Hmm. Okay. We'll talk more about this idea. Make sure you head over to trainwithmap.fit/ESPN1320. Roscoe's Recovery is out. That's the name of the new creatine bites, by the way. It's at trainwithmap.fit/ESPN1320. You can click on the link to MapTrition. You can grab those new creatine bites, which are amazing. You can get the strength enhancers, the fat burners. You could get the sleep enhancers, the cravings crushers, whatever you're looking for. They have it over at trainwithmap.fit/ESPN1320 to help you on your fitness journey or just on your health journey. It is a great resource. You can book a free nutritionist consultation right through that website. That website was built for us. trainwithmap.fit/ESPN1320. And we'll check in at Sacramento Kings training camp when D'Lo and Casey return here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN1320. Sacramento Kings wrapping up their first practice of the year. We'll head over to Sean Cunningham's good old Twitter account.
Hey.
with his 4K camera and his super duper microphone. We'll hear from the newest Sacramento King, DeMar DeRozan.
First one, man. I'm excited.
Kind of like, get the morale up.
Yeah. But I'm excited for all the great reasons.
Andy McNair shared with us that one of the things about this team that he wants is to get top five in offensive pace. We walk in, you guys are doing these full court running on the floor drills. Just, I guess, talk about the speed of this first practice.
It was great. I mean, I know we always talk about speed, but it's not like, Noah Lyles out here running, you know what I mean? But it's definitely a pace you got to keep up at, but it's consistent. You know, if you work at it, you prepare yourself for the summertime, it's simple. Come on the basketball court.
How different was today from the previous workouts and experiences that you've had with some of his teammates already?
I mean, it's just exciting, man. Like, everyone is always special for me, you know, just to be able to still be playing at a high level, playing with so many talented guys, playing with a great coaching staff. Today was, like I said, I'm really excited. You know, I'm a little rust learning offense and defense, but, catch on quick. And, I love what I see so far.
Not too much of a shock to the system yet, right?
No.
What are your first impressions of just being on the floor with guys like Fox and Domas, Keaton, and just how you guys might be able to fit together?
I mean, it just the countless different dynamic of like, killers you got out there. You know, the play we was playing today, and Fox got the ball and got out, and it was like a car flew by, you know what I mean? And he made something happen, you know? It's even with Big Fella, you know, the way he passed the ball, the way he screened, the way he get everybody open, you know, and the way Keegan shoot the ball. I mean, there's so many different dynamics of players out there on the floor, man. It gives me a lot of excitement.
What did you see with Malik Monk?
Oh, I love Malik. Oh, my God. He a big trash talker. I love that. He don't stop talking. I love that.
He doubled down. He doubled down on your prediction yesterday for Western Conference Finals. So,
he did. He better have. Good.
After, I know it's been only one practice, but do you feel like this team has what it takes to get there?
Yeah, for sure, man. Like, we're going to work our ass off. We showed it today. I mean, it's just day one. You know, it's just a special group right here. And like I said yesterday, I want to put everything I got in me into this team and, lay it all out there online.
What may surprise you at all today?
Nah. Nothing really surprised me other than, just how much Malik talk trash, in a good way, complaining in a good way. I like that. I always had the honor to have a teammate like Malik, so it's cool to still keep that tradition going. It keeps the juices going. I love it.
I know it's just day one, but every team has their unique identity or kind of feel to them. What would you say, just from your first impressions, of what's unique about this group?
Man, I know I'm the new guy here pretty much, but the togetherness already, you just see everybody one already, I'm trying to just come in and heighten that even more. So that was definitely a surprise, just how comfortable, how together everybody is. And even when we started going over offensive and defensive things, it was like everybody, was on a string already together.
Thanks, everyone. Appreciate it.
So the first interview done on the road to the Sacramento Kings championship right there.
There it is, man. We'll remember this one.
We'll remember that one forever. You know, it's funny listening to DeMar. DeMar, obviously a veteran in this league, and he knows, that you've got to say something, mm-hmm. right? Like you're in. He noted, I'm the new guy here. I feel like, especially when those conversations start, like those, Matt and Hammer and Sean and those guys and JA, they've been around this team for so long, and the different dynamics and the different characters and all of that. And sometimes I listen to this, and if Fox becomes available or whoever, we'll play the sound for you. Sometimes I feel like particularly vets are just like, guys, it's just basketball. Mm-hmm. Like, it's really it's not as serious as you think. Like, it's just basketball. Like, we all know the game, and we're just trying to kind of get the pace down with each other, get each other. Like, he talked about, how quick De'Aaron is. He talked about Domas getting guys open. But in the end, he's just out there. They're just out there playing ball together. And I think, sometimes you see looks on guys' faces where they want to give you, this really well-thought-out answer. Mm-hmm. But then they're like, we're just out here hooping. That's what we do.
That's it, man. And
listening to Malik talk, apparently.
that's what it comes down to.
Welcome to the team, DeMar.
And that's one of the things where, when you get out on the court, you get with these guys a little bit, and you realize, if things get too complicated or whatever, we've all played a lot of basketball. We've all played high-level basketball. We've all played on winning teams. We know what's expected. Like, let's go out there and play basketball.
Yeah.
Dribble handoff, whatever. Defense, team defense, do that. Isolation, do that. Like, you can simplify things if it gets too difficult, if it gets too confusing or whatever. You just go back to simplify, and we're just going to hoop out here. That's what we're going to do.
Let's check how loud the background noise is in James's video. Oh, it's not bad. It's kind of quiet. It's kind of quiet. We'll hear now from Domantas Sabonis, courtesy of James Hamm.
Domas, how did day one go?
It went good. You know, a lot of energy, a lot of running up and down, and just learning our system.
The speed that you guys are playing with, is this something you guys have to find that next gear this season?
Yeah, of course. You know, Coach mentioned that he wants to bring our pace back to year one. And, it's just going to be on us really running to the corners and opening up.
Over the last couple of seasons, we've seen a lot of you being part of taking the ball up the floor as well. Do they encourage you to even pick up your own pace, bringing it up?
Yeah, of course. You know, I mean, it's all about reading the game and the situation in front of us. Coach does want us to kind of pass the ball more instead of dribble. Just try to get that ball up faster up the court.
With you being the one to actually bring the ball up, though, and having guys like Fox and DeRozan and his speed running with you, how different is that, you think, from a defensive standpoint to try and stop that when Fox is off the ball with that speed?
It's great, you know, because, you know, a lot of times the defense wants to try and stop me. They kind of help the big, and that's when DeMar and Fox can just run off and get open looks.
What do you enjoy about training camp?
Pretty much nothing. You know, it's a week. You know, we get over it, and then game start.
Yeah. What do you think about, you know, DeMar closing, you know, that pep talk?
It was good. You know, he talked before practice, he talked after, you know. He's showing his voice, you know, and guys are listening.
For him, for as much as you guys will be utilizing him as a new player, what do you feel will be the toughest adjustment for you guys and him as well?
I don't even know. I think it's just going to run smooth, if anything. Just when he's playing in his one-on-one, I have to learn to not run up and set him a screen if he doesn't want one, you know?
Yeah. To actually get out there and run, like, you know, 5-on-5 stuff with him and your group, like, what did it look like? What did it feel like?
It felt good. You know, it was a lot of teaching, a lot of talking, you know, a lot of just figuring out things and running what the coaches want to run right now, so can't tell you as much.
DeMar talked about how surprised he was how much Monk talks. How excited are you that voice is here still?
It's good. It's a lot of picking on Coach, though. So that's why I think he's surprised.
Do you think, back to DeMar, do you think he's, you see him talking a lot to coaches, but even guys like you and Fox, do you think he's going to lean on you guys a lot in these weeks as a resource to really kind of...
Oh, for sure. You know, he's a professional. You know, he wants to come in and fit in right away. You know, he's here to win, so he's going to do whatever it takes to make the transition easy.
Do you think everyone's fitting in so far? Like, how's the chemistry? I know
it's all about. It's good. It's good. You know, we're just running up and down now. I don't know if you guys saw it. It's not much. We're just trying to catch our breath.
You talked a lot yesterday about how so many returners from this group, you can kind of pick up where you left off. How much of today was new stuff that you can share versus how much of today was kind of review?
It was good because, you know, it was a lot of review. We just changed a couple things on offense like we did last year. So, you know, it's not much, but everyone kind of knows 80% of it. So that's when you can skip on to the next drill quicker. And we got to play lag today, which honestly, you don't really get that until later in the training camp.
Do you feel like some of these days will kind of replicate each other day in, day out, or do you feel it's going to be kind of a mixture of things?
I think it's going to be a mixture of things. You know, each day is going to be something different, you know, and we're going to focus on that.
Mike's also talked about changes to the offense and just how you guys have tweaked things to kind of incorporate, like, what DeMar can do. What does that look like, and you know, what are the changes?
Just making more room on the offensive end, not having cutters go through, and having more space for anyone who's going to go try and get a bucket or give more room for the two-man game with me and him or Fox, you know, so kind of spreading out the court.
Domantas Sabonis right there, boy. He dropped a couple of lines in there. One, if I understood this right, DeMar closed practice, gave the speech that closed practice. That's how I took one of those lines about, you know, how'd you feel about DeMar there at the end of practice. Sound like he shut that thing down, which is pretty dope. And I think the thing that probably really stood out to Kings fans was, there's that word, pace. Get back to the year one pace. There was a lot of concern at the beginning of last year. Doesn't feel like this team is doing what it did offensively. Maybe what they're trying to do defensively is taking away what they did so great on the offensive end. And whether that's how Mike feels or not, it's pretty clear that from an offensive standpoint, at least from that remark from Domantas Sabonis about Mike Brown wanting to get back to year one pace, it's pretty clear that Mike Brown wants to put whatever offensive issues they had last year behind them,
right,
and get back to, as you coined many years ago, get back to their superpower.
Yeah, and I'm all for that. I'm all for that. It's something that you do when you don't dismiss defense. You know, you go out there and, all right, we're going to defend. We're going to try to play both sides of the ball. But let's not forget who we are. Let's not forget what makes us special. And I wonder if this offseason, Jay Triano, Mike Brown, and the rest of that staff, Luke Louts, they got back. Listen, let's get back to what we were doing. We're going to always work to get better on defense. You don't ever play a perfect game on defense, so you're always looking to get better, no matter how good or bad you think you are. But let's get back to, you know, injecting life into that offense.
Mm-hmm.
And after one practice, it seems like that might be an emphasis.
Let's see if we can go two for two now. De'Aaron Fox.
It's like a streak, like a Duolingo. Like you keep a streak of days that you, you know, do the exercise or whatever. Let's start a streak and see if De'Aaron Fox won't curse for two straight days.
6:02. Get your guesses in the Chatty House, brought to you by Matthews Mattress. 6:02 is the length of the video. Get your guesses in for when De'Aaron first cusses.